Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Before we begin, everyone do me a favor.
Thanks.
Read a little thing I wrote called the Federalist Papers.
Yeah.
I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter.
Nope.
I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Hey, Bitcoin Maxis. It's the Tokens Radio Show with our hosts, Christy Matthews, Linda Kent, and Cameron Walford.
Well, good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
My name's Christy Matthews.
And I'm Linda Kent.
Hey, it's great to have you here. And we have Nathan in the booth today.
We do.
Yes. Good to be working with you.
Yeah, Liam is on assignment in L.A.
He is. Hope he's having a good time.
He probably is.
Well, welcome, welcome to another Sunday edition of Tokens Radio Show. You know, you can always find our archive shows at KCNR1460.com, where you can find a bunch of other programs here on KCNR that are all worth listening to. They're all good, great shows, particularly the Sunday lineup.
Yeah, Sunday lineup, yeah. There's a lot.
And you can visit our website at tokensradioshow.com, and you can also find our previous editions there. The phone line is open at 530-605-4567, so give us a call if you got a question, or if you want to jump in the chat room, that's open right now, too.
Yeah, as long sometimes the chat room's on pause, just to let people
right.
know, so if you go there and want to type something in and you can't, just give it a few minutes.
Yeah, it looks like they've been unpaused. That's from the pause master. So, Bitcoin's currently sitting at 19,300, Ethereum's at 1307, XRP is 47 cents, and XLM is 11 cents. Luke Gibson of Gibson Appraisal sponsors this portion of the show. In a changing real estate market, you can't take a chance of getting the wrong valuation. Survey Chasis, Siskiyou, and Trinity counties. For prompt and accurate appraisals, contact Luke at 530-221-0154. That's 530-221-0154.
And he's a great guy.
I have to say, he's
a great guy.
Yes, I was going to put dot, dot, dot.
And he's very honest and reliable.
Yes.
So that makes a big difference these
Luke.
Days. Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Well, what's going on with Crypto Speak?
All right, so Crypto Speak this week is KYC. And I think we've gone over this before, but it needs to be brought to the forefront again, I think. Means know your customer. KYC is a mandatory process of identifying and verifying the client's identity when opening an account and periodically over time. It's just like when you open a bank account or anything like that. Each institution provides a list of acceptable forms of identification. Usually it's like your driver's license,
right.
Sometimes Social Security, even though it's not supposed to be for ID, it is used for that.
Well, they want your number.
They want the number.
Right.
More than actual verification.
Take the card. Yeah.
So that's usually what they're looking for
right.
on some of them. You do have to do, take a picture now, a selfie.
Right.
Some don't, but it's actually really easy, and so if you go on there and you have to do that, it's not uncommon, let's just say that, because I know a lot of people have asked me, not a lot, some people say, have you had to do that before? And yes, just be careful. I mean, if it keeps asking you more and more, you probably want to double check the site before you really get into it, but that isn't uncommon.
And many Bitcoiners and crypto enthusiasts, they're anti-KYC. And, it's just, I think we're already in the system, so to speak. And if you are trying to get out of the system and live in a parallel economy, you know, then you may want to go to other measures to non-KYC yourself. And there is a bit of work to do that, but KYC is it's an anti-laundering, anti-fraud mechanism.
Right.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Here it is, and we're stuck with it. So here's what's going on in the news this week, and it's just like it's just crazy. What's up is down, down is up. So just to start it off, Blockworks, this article came from Blockworks. Google chooses Coinbase to process payments for select customers. And Google's going to accept payment for their cloud services from a small group of customers across the Web3 space via a Coinbase commerce integration. There's nothing else to say here. The key players is that Google's going to take payment, and Coinbase is going to handle the payment processing. What an interesting relationship that is.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it right there.
Yes. Stay tuned for more of that.
Yes.
Okay. Crypto briefing. BNY Mellon now offering Bitcoin and ETH custody services. Following the approval from New York's financial regulator, BNY Mellon, America's oldest bank, has announced that it will begin offering custody services for Bitcoin and ETH alongside traditional financial instruments. The bank would store the required keys to access and transfer digital currency. They will also provide the same bookkeeping services on the crypto assets.
Well, here we have banks trying to make themselves relevant in the crypto world. They would like to custodialize your cryptocurrencies. They were the first ones to dip their toe in the water. And as we've talked about before, the other banks, all they have to do is look behind their app and they'll see the function for custodializing cryptos. It's there. It's coming.
Right.
BNY Mellon was the first one to jump on.
Just beware.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Have that information in your tool belt.
This other article was from Zero Hedge. U.S. Congressman introduces a gold standard bill. If passed, America's currency would gain stable footing for the first time in half a century if a bill introduced by U.S. Representative Alex Mooney became law. And he's from West Virginia, by the way. Interesting there.
Mm-hmm.
Referred to as the Gold Standard Restoration Act by sound money activists, H.R. 9157 calls for the repegging of the Federal Reserve note to gold in order to address the ongoing problems of inflation, runaway federal debt, and monetary system instability.
It seems so logical. I mean, it's like we really have to pass a law for that?
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
I tell you, what's down is up. What's up?
Yeah, you did. You did. Okay. Reason. PayPal now says it won't fine users. We talked a little bit about this on the show this morning. Last week, PayPal rolled out an updated user agreement. The agreement prohibits the sending, posting, or publication of any messages, content, or materials that represent a risk to users' safety or well-being or contain misinformation. I guess that all depends on who's regulating it, huh?
Exactly.
The policy notes that what counts as misinformation is at PayPal's sole discretion. Mm-hmm. Imagine that. Violate the policy and PayPal can deduct $2,500 from the offering user's account. That's $2,500 per infraction. Someone who spreads quite a bit of so-called misinformation could stand to lose a great deal of money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just wonder how they're getting their $2,500. They just take your funds and that's that.
They have access to your bank account.
Well, that's usually,
do it.
Yeah. PayPal has now backtracked. A PayPal spokesperson said that the updated user agreement was sent out in error. Of course it was. And included incorrect information. Is that misinformation?
That's because people were canceling their accounts.
PayPal is not fining people for misinformation, and this language was never intended to be inserted in our policy. Let's decode this. They got caught.
Yes, they did.
You know, and I've told people before, you know, I don't like using PayPal normally because
right.
if for some whatever reason, if they decide to keep your funds, they can keep them for however long they like.
You know what's ironic, too, about PayPal is that it was founded by Peter Thiel, and Elon Musk had some interest in it as well, and both of those folks have since left the company.
Hmm.
But and they're so-called freedom fighters, if you will.
So, yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this last article is from CNBC. ARC's Kathy Wood issues an open letter to the Fed. Well, when Kathy Wood speaks, the market listens. She's one of those folks. So in an open letter, ARCs invests, Kathy Wood suggests a Federal Reserve is likely making a mistake in its hardline stance against inflation. She states the Fed seems focused on two lagging variables, downstream inflation and employment, and calls into question the Fed's call for higher interest rates. A 10-plus fold increase in interest rates during the last 6 months and more to come has shocked not only the United States but the world and raised the risks of a deflationary bust. Criticism has emerged recently that the Fed could go too far and risk pulling the economy into an unnecessary recession. We're already there.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Woods concludes by saying that food and energy prices are important, but believes the Fed should not be fighting and worsening the global pain associated with the supply shock to agriculture and energy commodities caused by Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the underreported damage caused by the U.S. reversing course on fossil fuel production. So she said a lot there, and there was an article that she did that you could, or an interview, I should say, that she did on YouTube that was worthwhile to listen to. It was about 40 minutes, and she just went scorched earth on the Fed in a very polite way without putting herself in a position where she could be sanctioned, but basically says, you need to stop this. You know, had our policies been different, if we didn't stop oil production, if we didn't do some of the things that we're now doing in this economy, we wouldn't be in this condition that we're in right now.
Right. And
it's affecting the whole world.
Yeah, it is global, that's for sure. And she's right. You know, a lot of people don't speak back, so to speak, to the Federal Reserve.
Right.
Everybody thinks, well, not everybody, you know, they're the almighty. And they're not. And they are creating a lot of this chaos that doesn't need to be.
Well, the Fed just did an emergency lending to Switzerland two nights ago. Some $6 billion to shore up the run on the currency. People are coming in and trading trading their currencies. They want dollars. There isn't enough of it out there.
And you can see that happening here. Just think if people went to the bank. If you really had any amount of money in the bank and you went to get it, it's not like you could just pull it all out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, go in and ask for $10,000 and see if you can walk out.
Come back in 3 weeks, sweetheart.
Yes, absolutely.
You know?
So what we're going to do today, we're going to talk about stable coins. It's in the news, and we've heard about all kinds of new I don't want to call them stable coins, but we're hearing about XRP, XLM. They've been alluded to as being stable coins, but they're nothing like that at all. That's not what they are. But it did bring up the topic, and after talking to some people in town, it certainly sounded like a topic we should bring up.
Well, yeah, it's part of the crypto world, if you want to say that, you know, and it needs to be addressed since people need to be educated.
Well, yes, and that's how you stabilize your portfolio if you're moving cryptos around. And let's say if you sold off some Bitcoin and you want to stabilize your gains, you can put it into a stable coin and then reinvest that money when it's time to buy another asset, or Bitcoin comes down, you want to buy it again, then you could certainly do that.
Right.
So stable coins are blockchain tokens that are designed to hold a specific value. They typically track the price of fiat currencies like the U.S. dollar, being the U.S. dollar is the reserve currency of the world. And there are the most common types are fiat-backed, over-collateralized, and algorithmic stable coins. But there are others, but we're not going to talk about them because they're kind of on the fringe. And there's differences between them. And stable coins play a key role in decentralized finance and a broader cryptocurrency system.
So what are stable coins exactly? Well, a stable coin is a blockchain-based token that is designed to stay at an equal value, typically that of the pegged, like you said earlier, to fiat currency.
Mm-hmm. To a specific fiat currency.
Yeah,
right.
We're not only ours, there is other fiat currency. I should clarify that. Yeah.
It could be pegged to the yen or the yuan.
Right.
In that country's currency.
Yes. Yeah, it depends on where you're at.
Right.
Okay. The most widely used stable coins track the price of the U.S. dollar.
Right.
Stable coins representing other currencies are also in circulation, which we alluded to. Stable coins. Oh, wait. I'm going to do it again. Let me back up. They let investors take advantage of the price stability of fiat currency, which most of the time fiat currency is pretty stable. Not all the time.
But you're in a dollar, yes.
Right. Particularly relevant to contract-enabled chains as ETH. And then, investors can seamlessly swap the cryptos and dollar peg assets back and forth in the decentralized exchanges, which is nice.
Yeah.
Because you have that, you're able to do that a lot easier between them. If you want to switch out or change your assets.
You won't have to go through like a Coinbase or something
right.
like that.
You don't have to necessarily go through a third party and be tracked more.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea of the decentralized.
Well, fiat-backed stablecoins maintain their pegs by promising that each token can be redeemed for a unit of the currency it represents. So in other words, $1 of U.S. currency, U.S. fiat, would be equal to one stablecoin. And that would be of particular stablecoins, which we're going to get to into a moment here. Usually they're issued by a centralized provider, something like Coinbase, something like that. And a provider who holds fiat money or fiat equivalent assets like commercial paper, treasury bonds. And the most common fiat-backed currencies are pegged to the U.S. dollar due to their desirability across the borders and the world reserve currency. Fiat stable coins are backed by national currency, and they're managed by a centralized entity, and their supply can easily expand so they can mint more of them. And as long as an issuer has sufficient cash reserves, it can issue more tokens. For example, suppose a fiat-backed stablecoin pegged to the dollar were suddenly traded for less than a dollar. Investors could buy up the tokens and redeem them with their issuer for a small profit. And once they come back up to the peg. Now, what are the common ones? The most common is USD Tether. And it's pegged to the dollar. And it's
right.
The largest stablecoin in circulation.
All right. And it's supported on 12 different blockchains.
Yep.
ETH, Aave, Poly, OMG, Tron, EOS, Liquid, Algo, BTC Cash,
That's Solana, yeah.
Solana, Kuzama. Kuzama, that's a new one for me. Omni Protocol. Excuse me. And, of course, Bitcoin blockchain. In the U.S., regulated as money service businesses by multiple state financial services. So,
it hasn't been, the only state it's not approved in is in New York.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, New York is kind of a bugaboo for a lot of crypto and financial services.
Yeah, it is,
services.
Because if you know, when we had the one gentleman in here, New York kept coming up
time
and time again on that, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. Yep, yep.
The company releases assurance opinions quarterly to show it holds enough cash and equivalents to back all USDT tokens in circulation. So hopefully you know that your investment is good, so to speak. Excuse me. It's lost its peg several times over the years, always returning to its targeted dollar due to its I'm having a hell of a time today. Redemption system. Recently, it lost peg due to the UST collapse. USDT handled over 8 billion redemptions, and that equals to peg quickly returned.
Well, what happened was when Terra collapsed, people were moving to USDT. They're trying to get out of that, and it put a lot of pressure on Tether. And so it hit their peg, but they were able to recover.
Sorry. Got a frog in my throat or something. A full audit promised by the company coming soon.
As they all say.
Yeah, they all say that. Let's hope it does. Concerns over USDT's backing were alleviated Wednesday. Tether has finally eliminated commercial paper from its reserves and replaced it with U.S. Treasury bills.
That was huge.
That's a big deal.
Yep.
So then that will improve reputation, as USDT has been rumored to be as high as 85% backed by Chinese commercial paper.
There, now that paper's gone. So
that's a good thing that
it's
it goes
very
away.
Good thing.
Yeah, it really is. This move may help USDT maintain dominance in the stable coin space.
Well, the next fiat-based or backed stablecoin is USDC. And just here in the studio here, probably the two stable coins that we generally use is USDT Tether and USDC.
Right.
There's just less problems with them. Perceived problems. I haven't had problems with Tether at all, although some people have said, don't use Tether. And USDC is pretty much widely available. It's dollar pegged, like I said. It's currently the second and largest circulation. And it's managed by a company called Center, which includes Stablecoin's founder Circle, which it has members from Coinbase and Bitcoin mining company Bitmain.
So you have people from both of those that's involved with
right.
Circle.
Yes. Circle, I believe, is the parent company of Coinbase. USDC is supported on 9 different blockchains, and it has secured licenses to operate across several countries. In the U.S., Circle is a licensed money transmitter and holds state-specific licenses where it's required to do so. And it's also licensed in New York. USDC is fully licensed in Bermuda and in the U.K., and USDC is often viewed as a gold standard for dollar-backed stablecoins. I'd agree with that. It's due to their trustworthiness, their compliance with regulations, and transparency of its backing its assets. It's also yet to undergo a full audit of its reserves, but they do put out regular monthly reports from top 5 accounting services just to reassure their investors that everything's copacetic. And although they're committed to transparency, they have drawn attention from the SEC over the firm's holdings, customer programs, and operations. No surprise there.
Right, exactly. And then we have BUSD, Binance USD.
Mm-hmm. This one's interesting.
Okay. It's the third largest stablecoin in circulation, and it is also pegged to the dollar. It is issued by Binance in a partnership with Pecos Trust Company, LLC. BUSD is currently only available on 2 networks, ETH and Binance BNB chain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to try to get through this. September 2022, Binance started the automatic convert all deposited stable coins into BUSD, making it the primary stable coin used on the exchange. Do we need to go to a break and then maybe just finish this article out?
How are we doing, Nathan?
We're getting close.
Okay.
So I guess we'll go to, we only have a little bit more and come back and finish this up and move along on the stable coins.
Sure.
All right. You're listening to the Tokens Radio Show, and we will take a break, and we'll come back in three and talk about more stable coins.
Received your Starlink? Congratulations! Do you need help installing it? Look no further than your local satellite professionals. That's right, BT Satellite. Call Doug and the whole team to set up your Starlink with the same customer service you've come to know. BT Satellite will set up your Starlink and work with you to make the experience a pleasure for you. Call today and set up your time to install the new Starlink. You know, don't call the 800 number. Call 241-3474. That's BT Satellite, 241-3474.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
The new 32 Below ice cream shop realizes that ice cream is more than just ice cream. Remember when you got good grades and mom would say, "All right, we're going to ice cream." Remember when the team won? It was like, "We're all going to ice cream." How about an ice cream date with the one you love? Yeah, ice cream is definitely more than just ice cream. It's a celebration. But guess what? You don't need a reason to go out for ice cream. You just need a cool place that's open every day of the week. That place is 32 Below Ice Cream Shop on Caterpillar Road, right next to Dill's Deli. 24 flavors of ice cream, shakes, malts, or soda floats, cookie sundaes, brownie sundaes, or the classic banana split. At 32 Below Ice Cream Shop, we believe life is a celebration, and anytime is a good time for ice cream. 32 Below Ice Cream Shop at 5136 Caterpillar Road next to Dill's Deli. Open Monday through Saturday, noon to 9, Sunday, noon to 7. 32 Below Ice Cream Shop. Anytime is a good time for ice cream.
Tokens Radio Show has partnered with Swan Bitcoin. We are Swan Bitcoin customers and chose them because Swan is, well, easy to work with and inexpensive. Set up a Bitcoin savings plan and never miss out on the dips. It's perfect for both new and experienced Bitcoiners. Get the free book, Inventing Bitcoin, the technology behind the first truly scarce and decentralized money, and earn $10 of Bitcoin when you use our affiliate link, swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. That's swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow.
I'm picking up
And we're back. I could just listen to that for a while, you know what I mean?
Just like we were just talking, we're running down a dream. This is Bitcoin leads you to a lot of rabbit holes.
I think our lives anymore send us to rabbit holes. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. Before we went to break, we were talking about stable coins. Mm-hmm. And I was actually talking about BUSD. I just wanted to hit a couple more highlights on this, so I'll go back. Before we went to break, I started to talk about September of 2022. Binance started to automatically convert all deposited stablecoins into BUSD, making it the primary stablecoin used on the exchange. So I just wanted to get that in there. And then we have BUSD issuer Binance, the world's largest crypto exchange. That's big.
Yes.
When you stop and think of the largest.
They are big.
Yeah. Has been implicated in several scandals, including failure to address money laundering schemes.
Say it's not so.
I mean,
I'm sure the SEC was involved.
Yeah, and of course, stuff like that always gives, like, cryptocurrency and Bitcoin a bad name. Oh, then it's all a scheme. Everything's bad. It's about laundering money.
And it's going, of course, it's going to come after the largest exchange.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. And then one of the last points is due to compliance-related issues, could face difficulties ensuring BUSD is compliant, God, with U.S. regs in the future. I don't know. I got issues today. Sorry, folks. I'm really trying, but let's do that again. Due to compliance-related issues, could face difficulties ensuring BUSD is compliant with U.S. regs in the future.
Yeah, you know, they're in every country, and so it is difficult for them to be in compliance. They have to be. I mean, if you're going to be a worldwide, the largest crypto exchange in the world, you're going to have to get your regulations under control, and they need to up their staff to make sure that they can get that done and stay compliant. It would also help if we had some regulatory guidance here in this country for them to follow.
Right. And I don't think they just don't do crypto either. They've kind of been in the financial world for a while, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe Binance is just crypto, but I might be wrong on that.
Okay.
Yeah, they might
have. I might have them confused with one of the other banking institutes.
Yeah. Well, to wrap this section up, you know, fiat-backed stablecoins are often viewed as the safest to hold due to their, you know, their counterparts like the over-collateralized and the algorithmic type of stablecoins. USDT, which is Tether, USDC, and Binance BUSD all have freeze or blacklist functions written into their contracts. So, if you buy too many cashews, they can shut you down.
Back to the cashews. Bad cashew
person. No, seriously, though. The companies who issue them have the power to freeze or even confiscate your funds directly from the user's wallet.
That's scary. And then stable coin issuers freeze funds to fight financial crime and ensure these stable coin issuers comply with anti-money laundering regulations.
Right.
Freeze functions can help recover stolen funds from hacks and DeFi exploits.
Yep. And this requires holders to trust the stablecoin issuer not to confiscate or freeze their funds without a good reason. But look to Tornado Cash, for instance. The sanctions show the incentive to confiscate funds or blacklist addresses can change quickly if a government organization chooses to impose sanctions. Circle promptly circled the wagon on that one, and they complied with the U.S. government's Tornado Cash ban. So that is one of the risks.
So generally speaking, freeze and blacklist functions shouldn't be a concern for the majority of cryptocurrency investors.
_ generally speaking.
Right. As always, the convenience for highly liquid fiat-backed stable coins far outweighs these concerns. Mm-hmm. still, for anyone who plans to use USDT, USDC, or USSD, is prudent to be aware of these risks before holding them. Mm-hmm. Again, you go back to do your homework, do your education, get right. the information, look at the use cases, look at everything before you just go, oh yeah, click, I'm doing that one.
And I want to talk to the beginner. The beginner who will tiptoe into the stablecoin, it's my opinion you should be under fiat-based stable coins. You don't want to go into the esoteric coins, the over-collateralized ones, or the algorithmic coins because they're sexy or whatever. Somebody told you that they're cool. They're highly risky, and if you're just getting started in this, go with what's safe.
Right. So.
Somebody should have turned off their phone. Anyway.
I don't know. We got people yelling outside. Yeah, we got all there. Kinds of stuff going on. So we'll just right on here.
The next coins we're going to talk about are those who are over-collateralized. And over-collateralized stable coins are backed by a basket of different assets that must maintain a higher market value than the stable coin's total circulation. So if you've got, let's just talk about $100 in circulation, you must have $200, maybe $300 in assets, backed assets in a basket.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's also important is that this particular stablecoin is commonly achieved through a smart contract protocol directly on the blockchain. So this is how they manage the basket of assets to the stablecoin itself.
Oh, so it's not like they just have a basket and throw it all in there and then kind of match it up or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Done through a smart contract.
That's a big deal. And then when the value of the user's collateral decreases below a certain level, the protocol sells their deposited assets for other stable coins or cash. Mm-hmm. This ensures the protocol remains solvent and it is native stablecoin is always backed by assets of greater value than its circulating stable coins.
Yes, that's most important. And most are pegged to the U.S. dollar. The supply is constrained. Supply is constrained as the amount in circulation relies on users depositing assets into the issued protocol. And they're less efficient and less liquid than fiat-backed stablecoins, but are viewed as more decentralized. For those who don't want to be dealing with the centralized aspect of stablecoin issuance, you might want to go to an over-collateralized coin.
Right. And this being pegged to the dollar and, kind of a dollar-for-dollar thing, if you stop and think about it, is a lot more stable than the banking system. Because that's not the way they do business.
Right.
Maintaining its peg to a similar process as fiat-backed coins, rather than the issuers manually redeeming tokens for dollars, over-collateralized stable coins can be automatically burned through their issuing protocol in exchange for the vault assets backing them.
Yeah, that's the smart contracts coming into play to keep a balance within the ecosystem.
Right. But they're still doing dollar for dollar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although you have to have more assets to cover the stablecoin issuance. Right. So you need to have the reserves there. So the next one is DAI, D-A-I, and that's the most notable over-collateralized stablecoin. It's issued by Maker Protocol on the Ethereum blockchain. And it's currently the largest over-collateralized stablecoin in circulation. Maker operates as a decentralized entity, and the protocol has come under pressure over the composition of its tokens backing DAI. Over half of all DAI is backed by Circle's USDC. Isn't that interesting?
Once again, there comes that word, Circle's.
So if Circle was to become insolvent or deny the Maker protocol from redeeming its USDC for dollars, it would result in DAI becoming under-collateralized and likely cause a price crash. So it just goes to show you, you know, these are, they're esoteric coins. There's another one called GHO. We're not even going to talk about that.
And then
one.
We have USDD.
Yep.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, that one's a little bit in the news.
Okay. Yeah. So this is a decentralized USD. It's a hybrid, over-collateralized. It's an algorithmic stablecoin issued by Tron Foundation. It was issued in May 2nd, 2022, in response to the popularity of Terra's now-collapsed algorithmic USDT stablecoin. If I could talk, it would be better. USDD is native to the Tron network and also available on BNB chain, ETH, and several centralized exchanges.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, collateralized stablecoins is a decentralized alternative to fiat-backed counterparts. Control is distributed among token holders or a DAO collective. And stablecoins like DAI and USDD do not include freeze or blacklist functions in their code. For individuals concerned about being targeted by central issuers like Circle and Tether, tokens like DAI provide insurance that their tokens in their wallets will always be theirs. And out of all of these choices, DAI would probably be the one I would go with because they're well known. Maker is a good protocol. But nonetheless, that's if I wanted to go that way.
If you were going to pick one out of all.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
A decentralized stablecoin backed by a centralized stablecoin runs counter to why such projects were first envisioned and subject holders to various counterparty risks.
All right. And then we have the algorithmic.
Algorithmic? Yep.
Stablecoins.
Yes.
And again, they're fiat pegged assets, and they rely on an algorithm to help them maintain their peg. And that's very important when you stop and think about it. Most attempted algorithmic stablecoins are uncollateralized.
Yeah, they're under-collateralized.
Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. They're under.
Right.
Meaning that the issuers, the people that issue them, do not hold enough assets in reserves to allow the holders to redeem them for real dollars in the event of a bank run, like we were talking earlier. Mm-hmm. They have to have more value there. Let's see. What else do we want to hit on there?
Well, they're highly experimental.
Oh, yes.
And previous iterations have had bad track record of losing their peg during periods of high market volatility. The most famous one that just happened several months ago was USDT, Terra, the Terra Luna project.
Yeah.
Terra USD, which is the UST coin, is now defunct.
Right.
And it was developed by Terraform Labs and its founder, Dao Quan, is an internet.
he's
wanted by Interpol, and he's on the run.
Yeah.
So there you go. The whole world is after this man because his project here broke a lot of people.
So another one is UST.
Well, that's what we're talking about right now. Yep.
The UST and Luna's death spiral wiped out more than $40 billion worth of value from the cryptocurrency market.
That's why Dai Quan is on the run.
Yeah. A major reason behind the collapse was the demand for UST. Yeah. So.
Yeah, they were using one of the things that made people look to this coin is that holders could deposit USDT or UST into the Anchor protocol and earn an oversized return of 15 to 20% on their stable coins. Where do you invest any of your money and be able to earn that kind of a return at least 6 months ago before interest rates are where they are right now?
Right.
So that was unrealistic and not sustainable.
Right. The majority of the interest depositors were earning was subsidized by Terraform Labs instead of being generated by the borrowers.
Yeah.
You think there might have been a little bit of a problem going on here?
Kind of sounds like our banking system, huh?
Yeah. That's kind of where I was going earlier, you know? Not that there's any problem with our banking system right now.
Frax is another algorithmic stablecoin. We're not going to talk about it, but just want to let you know it's out there, and it's primarily USDC and partly by Frax Finance's native government's token, FXS.
Right. And these stablecoins, they've kind of got a bad rap, which I think there was a good reason why they got such a bad rep on this, you know.
Oh, yeah. They earned it.
Yeah, they did.
You know, regardless of how well an algorithm appears to be holding up, destabilization, as we've seen, can quickly occur when large holders decide to exit their positions. We see that happen time and time again.
Right.
You see the pump and the dump happen
right.
in stablecoins, too. There's no guarantee that an algorithmically backed asset can be redeemed one-to-one with a stable currency. Market forces alone won't be sufficient to prevent a crash. It just can't.
Yeah. So far, Frax has proven to be a rare exception by successfully adjusting its collateral ratio in response to changing market conditions. However, Terra's UST also appeared stable until it grew to a market cap over $10 billion.
That's key. So Frax could face the same thing and the same demise if its market cap hits the early USDT levels in the future. It's very possible.
So, you know, the future of the stable coins, centralized stable coins currently dominate the market. And while there are drawbacks to USDT and USDC, they've become prevalent to the DeFi ecosystem. Mm-hmm. It's unlikely they will disappear anytime soon.
In fact, the Fed talks about stablecoin. We're not assured to be getting a CBDC.
Right.
But they do talk about stablecoins.
That is true. It's coming. We know that. Most definitely so.
While centralized stablecoins comprise the bulk of the market, demand for more decentralized alternatives like DAI remains high. We'll see how far that goes.
Right. The numerous failed attempts at algorithmic stablecoins have drawn the attention of regulators worldwide, which it should.
Daiquan.
Yeah. Again, Daiquan. Hi, Daiquan. New attempts to create an algorithmic stablecoin will likely face significant regulatory challenges in the future. Well, there are many types of stable coin on the market today. Each has its own benefits. Of course, there's drawbacks. One thing is certain. Stable coins will form a core part of cryptocurrency ecosystem for many years to come.
And that is the truth.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I know that we know that's a lot of information. Yeah. But again, just, you know, get your education, do your homework, look at the different ones. Be aware of this if you're going to be playing around in the cryptocurrency world.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they have their place. You know, when I first heard about stable coins, I go, a what?
I still kind of go, Eva.
And when I realized what they were for, I mean, obviously they're to stabilize your portfolio because if you're just, you know, let's take a look at Bitcoin. I mean, it's gone, what, up to 67,000,
right.
Down to 19, and somewhere along the line, wherever your investments were, can you imagine getting into Bitcoin early in the game and you're taking the ride up, you're doing really well, and you want to just take some profits off the table, where are you going to park your funds? You might put them into a stable coin, so instead of cashing them out for dollars, right?
Yeah.
And have them ready to deploy so that you can be ready to be on an exchange and use those coins to acquire another cryptocurrency. Because you still have to convert fiat onto an exchange to be able to buy your currency. So if you already have stablecoin, then you're just making a swap.
Right. Okay. And it can be done a lot quicker. That's for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Much quicker.
And not to have to worry about it.
When you have stablecoin, there isn't a settlement period. You're not waiting for an ACH transfer or a wire to go through when you're converting your fiat currency. So stablecoins are definitely here to stay, and I'm looking forward to them, shaking out the system, and there's going to be the go-tos. That's just the way it's going to be.
Just like it is with anything.
Yeah.
Definitely. You know, you have your to-go-tos that you know that you can rely on.
So that's the shtick.
That's the shtick about stablecoins.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
It is. I mean, just crypto, the Bitcoin world is very, very interesting in and of itself. One day we're going to do a Jason Lowry decode.
Okay, we can do that.
His thing about Bitcoin is not because of Bitcoin, it's because of proof of work and the Bitcoin blockchain being the best of anything out there. So we're going to talk about the military applications one day because it's a big project to go through that. But in any case.
Well, yes, it is.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But it's worth talking about.
Oh, gosh. He's a very interesting fellow.
Yeah. And then it gets more into how it ties in with the military and GPS and why this and why that. And we're back down some rabbit holes.
Oh, many rabbit holes. Yes. So we want, let's just take a left turn here. We want to thank Fratelli's Pizza for hosting the Reading Bitcoin Meetup. The next meetup's going to be at Fratelli's on October 27th between 6 and 8 p.m. Did you know that we have a Bitcoin meetup here?
I did.
Yes. And they're pretty cool. And
yeah, I've been there a couple times.
Yeah.
You've shown up there, you know, and they got the Bitcoin Center.
Yes. They're not tied to Fratelli's, but the Bitcoin meetup is mostly the people who are associated with the Bitcoin Center.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's getting to grow organically, and this is why we wanted to mention it, because it, you know, the times that we're going through right now, and like we're talking about, Bitcoin isn't just about currency, it's about what it represents.
Yes.
Represents freedom and alternatives from a system that basically wants to be in control. So what this meetup is gravitating to is not only talking about Bitcoin, but also what can we do locally to sustain ourselves. There's a movement right now to start growing our own beef initiative here locally. You know, there's Texas Slim who talks about the beef initiative around the country. Well, they're bringing that here, which is really cool.
Right. Which, to your point, the freedom and all that, and it's making communities take back their communities and work together.
Right.
And that's a big deal, and get rid of the government and everybody else. It's to know your community well enough to know that Christie's got the beef, like you say, the beef coming here to this county and stuff and in our community. You have to know these things.
And when the supply chain breaks down, you're not going to be able to get things from Butcher Box, for instance, from across the country.
Right.
Look to your local ranchers, your local farmers. Let's sustain them. Let's support them so that we can work in our own ecosystem, because we're going to have to come up with ideas on how to make things and how to operate commerce here, and we're going to have to be using some sort of currencies to do that.
Exactly. And we've all heard it before, kind of like Ayn Rand. This is like Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah.
You know, the same principle. So with that, we're out of time. We'll see you next week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have a good day, and we're going to, you can catch us on Telegram and Twitter at Tokens Radio Show. And can you bring us out with that quote from Mr. Robert Breedlove?
The government which governs best governs least. So in this very critical type of property we call money, the most important form of property in the world, this is another way to look at Bitcoin and the importance of Bitcoin. Bitcoin, very simply, is the government that governs least. It just gives you strong property in your money, and that's it.
Lord, y'all, this train is bound for glory.
KCNR.
And there's plenty of room for all.
Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.